the life that I kind of created for myself was the life that I dreamed of, and it was very easy for me to access that kind of like financial success because of the power of the mind and the way that I changed my thoughts. We had very limiting beliefs on a lot of things. Doing the research that I did and wanting and understanding that, I always felt like there was more to life. It happened again. So it's like whatever I was saying, whether it was positive or negative, it was happening. Literally being so low to like, and my life just flipping and changing just because of like the power of my mind and everything that I kind of, you know, like created mentally.
And a lot of people think if you dream it, like how you just said, if you say it out loud, it will come to you. But that's not really the case, is it? Because I'm not going to say I'm a millionaire and it's going to come.
No.
So let's talk through the process.
So Abraham Hicks, which I love, used to say, don't even worry about the how.
Yes.
Just believe that you will. Just you're going to be there. How you get there, it's none of your business.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Millennial Mind. Before we get into this podcast, I want to tell you all about my weekly live Sunday workshops. A lot of people ask how I was able to quit the corporate rat race and do something that I love every single day, and that's by working on myself and doing so many different things to do with my self-development. So every Sunday, I host a workshop focusing on different topics, from manifesting to the law of attraction to goal setting to how I manage my time, and you can join too. There's a 3-day free trial. I'll leave the link in the comments, but for now, let's get into the episode. Nikki!
The long time coming.
The hair magician. Yeah, honestly, long time coming.
I know.
I am so excited for this podcast because people know you as, you know, the hair guru, the hair magician, but people don't really know your full story.
Oh, okay.
And today we're going to do a bit of a deep dive
into
who is Nikki LaZoo. So for people who don't know who you are, tell me a little bit about yourself.
So basically, I'm Nikki and I've been in hairdressing for such a long time, but I feel like I'm really into like manifesting and energy, and my life was never, it wasn't always like this, but I felt like since I got into like manifesting and like believing in yourself, like my career just boomed and changed. So it's not just, I don't just do hairdressing. I feel like I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for all the learning and all the knowledge that I learned and the people I learned, like I met along the way. And I feel like I kind of like, you know how they say use talent or something? What's that saying when they say work hard if talent fails or something like that?
Yes.
But I feel like you can definitely get anywhere you want in life, but you have to also put a lot of effort to be able to kind of grow, learn and work on your inner self to be able to be like in any career, to be the best at what you do, you need to do a lot of self work and inner kind of work to be able to get where you want to be.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned just now that your life wasn't always like this.
Yeah.
What was it like?
So I feel like growing up, we were around, say, a lot of financial difficulties. I remember our parents talking about financial difficulties. So I feel like I'm living, like, the life that I kind of created for myself was the life that I dreamed of. And it was very easy for me to access that kind of like financial success because of the power of your mind and the way that I changed my thoughts. We had very limiting beliefs on a lot of things, and even like lack of self-care and lack of self-love. So I feel like doing the research that I did and wanting and understanding that, I always felt like there was more to life. Like I used to think, this can't be, like, there's got to be more to life. And I remember traveling and meeting people, and along the way, people that I met inspired me to see the world in a different light. And then I started like reading books, and made me realize that we are actually so magical, and like we can actually create whatever we want to create. And from, I became a bit obsessed with it. So I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And it's little things like, before I had what I had, I would drive past places and I would be like, oh my God, I would love this. Or, oh my God, I really don't like this. And if I said I don't like this, then it happened again. So it's like whatever I was saying, whether it was positive or negative, it was happening. And then after I learned that the universe doesn't know what's wrong or right, but whatever you say, it will just come. So one day I was driving past an apartment block that I loved, and I was like, I would love to live there. Literally 6 months later, I was living there, and it was completely out of my kind of, you know, like financial kind of situation. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. Like, why is it everything I say, good or bad, just happens? Like, once I was like, there's a lot of things that I can tell you, but I was obsessed with this guy because I just have a very obsessive personality for like 5 minutes and then I'm over it. And it was BBM days.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, he's moved me from BBM. And then I was like, oh no, he's here. And then literally he removed me from BBM in that moment. I was like, I think I'm like weird, there's something wrong with me. And then I googled why is it everything I say, whether it's good or bad, always seems to happen. And then I kind of came across this guy called Mike England in Birmingham, and he was all about the law of attraction and that you create things, da, da, da. And literally I met him, I was on this kind of like amazing journey of, I don't know, it was just crazy. I went from like literally being so low to like in my life just flipping and changing just because of like the power of my mind and everything that I kind of, you know, like created mentally, but also having the courage to overcome that voice in your head, that those limited beliefs, your subconscious. So it's a lot of learning. So I always say to everyone that I meet, no matter where you are in life, you can always, always change that. But you just have to understand. I think it's harder to say to someone that's going through something, you can come out of this, because it's harder. You know, you've got, especially if you are tuned to believe a lot of like limiting beliefs.
Mm.
So it makes them think, but how? She's just lucky, or she's just this. But I was never just lucky. Like, it literally is a work in progress. It's like a work of art, and it depends how much you want something that then you can actually just live it, and it does happen.
So I'm so confused. So you said you were never this person who was very spiritual. Yeah. You knew nothing about manifesting. Mm. I remember when we met, you were like, am I a witch? Like, why why is this happening to me? Because we spoke about this, right? Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people right now who are learning about the law of attraction and learning about manifesting and learning about The Secret. But there's so much information online. And a lot of people think if you dream it, like how you just said, if you say it out loud, it will come to you. But that's not really the case, is it? Because I'm not going to say I'm a millionaire and it's going to come.
No.
So let's talk through the process. What were you doing when you just came out of college or school?
So I finished school, and then while I was in school, I was trained, I kind of did media as well. I wanted to be a journalist.
Okay.
So I was really good at that at college. Like, my teacher at college was like, please don't leave. But while I was doing that, I was also doing all my friends' hair in our spare time. And like, I had like a big community of like a wedding community. I was just really, it was just like extra money. But then I became a bit of a diva. So I was like, okay, so there has to be a party of six for me to travel, and there has to be this. Da, da, da. And I was like 17.
Wow.
So I was kind of having a little kind of side hustle.
Yeah.
But I remember being like only like 14, 13. And I used to be obsessed with Vogue, and I used to like buy Vogue magazine and be like, oh my God, I love this and I love that. So that also gave me the drive to want to do things in life. But it was just very, very minimal and very basic. So I was charging very, very low prices. I remember doing things like £60, I think it was, for like colour cotton and blow dry. It was really low. And I used to travel. One client was like 1 hour away from the other client, and it was like a lot of time on the road. So it was hard work. And I used to wake up at 4 a.m. to be at one client's house at like 5 a.m. But I remember, I think the thing with me is I always live in the moment as well. I remember driving to a client's house that I was doing for about 4 years, and I was like, this can't be it. Like, this cannot be it. I can't do this for the rest of my life. And then that's when I said to myself, just enjoy this moment that you are in, because one day this will be a memory.
Yes.
So I have this thing. I remember being on a school bus going, I had to catch 2 buses to go to school. And I remember again being on that school bus. And again, I had this little thing of just being in the moment. So again, on that school bus, I'll never forget, I used to have my headphones on, and then I used to like look at all the streets, and I was like, one day this will be a memory, so just live it and be here. And again, I look back and I think it is a memory now, you know, and I'm here now. And so every single little step is like a memory that we have to also be in that present moment. And from then, I was like I had a very, very bad breakup.
Okay.
So I'm Greek.
Okay.
I'm Cypriot. And we, not nowadays, but back then, everybody just got married very young. And my sisters got married very young.
Okay.
So it was just a normal thing for us. I would say we were more like, it's the kind of community where you grow up, you get married, you have kids, and that's it.
Yeah.
You don't have like these visions. Now it's different.
Mm.
And I see a lot of the new generation completely being different. But back then it was like, you get married, you have kids, end of. And for me again, I was just like, oh, wow. Like, and it's great for some people, but for me, I was like, is that it?
Mm.
And I met this guy and I was like, I didn't really like him, but I thought it was just a normal thing to, okay, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
The parents kind of arranged for you in a way. And I was just like, oh, no, no, no. And then he was a lot older than me. And he basically, literally, like, treated me like a princess. Like, it was really hard because that was my first proper relationship. I was 19.
Wow.
So I was a lot older because we were kind of, like, raised quite in the home and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was 19. It was my first relationship. He treated me like a princess. So to have someone treat you so well and, you know, like, he would... I wasn't physically like, oh, wow. But I thought it was just normal to kind of be introduced. And and he would, like, send me the most beautiful flowers and he would treat me like he would... He would protect me so well. It felt so nice. Like, I felt so safe.
Mm.
And then out of the blue, he just literally split up with me. So one day I was just at home waiting for our date and he just never showed up. So I was like, what? Like, what's going on? And then I was like really brave enough. I took a taxi. Now I think back and I think, wow, like, you go,
girl. You're so strong, yeah.
And even then, I was only, like, I think 20 at the time. I took a taxi, I went to his house and knocked on the door. I was like, oh, like, da-da-da-da. I loved Beyonce and all those girls at the time, so I was like, girl power. And I was like, what's going on? And then he was, like, in bed crying. And he was just like, I'm a lot older than you. You've got, like, you've got so much life. And anyway, he split up with me. I literally was heartbroken. It was the only time in my life that I actually think I was, like, heartbroken. Like, I couldn't focus at work. I remember then some girls at work were like, do you know what? Why don't you go travelling? Like, that would help you get over the situation. Because at that time, being Greek and having a breakup at such a young age, you were literally cancelled. Like, it's like no one else will marry you or that.
Really?
I think we have a similar kind of background.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now it's different, thank God.
Of course.
But back then, it's like, oh, no, she was with so-and-so. Like, oh, no, no, no. It was very like the parents, like, no, she, like, was already, like, being with someone, that kind of situation. So I felt like I was an outsider already. And I basically thought, well, there's nothing for me here. I already feel like uncomfortable being around the community. I don't feel great. So I went traveling and traveling where my dad would not let me.
Yeah.
So then I was like, fine, you're not going to let me. I'll get a job. So I literally went to London without him knowing. I took a job with Steiner.
Right.
Which at the time, again, it's like the best company for like working on like around the world and da-da-da-da.
Okay.
Literally got the job in a minute.
What was the job?
It was, I thought it was like doing hairdressing on like beautiful boats. Because that's how I never like, you know, thought of anything else. And then so I went back and I was like, I've got a job and I'm traveling. And dad was like, no, you know, my mum had to force him to let me go. So then in my head, I was thinking I'm going to arrive at this beautiful yacht. And then the taxi drops me off in Barcelona and goes, oh, that's your boat. And I was like, well, it was this giant cruise ship. So I was like, what? Oh, my God. So I kind of like went on there. But it was more for the experience to travel. And I literally went on there and I just like I did really, really well on there and kind of got over him. But from then I met people and I met people from around the world, customers that I spoke to that were these incredible, like powerful people doing great at their jobs. And I think that's what helped me. I had to see the world to be able to realize that there's more to life than what maybe what we're used to. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like if we grow up in certain kind of ways, we always close our eyes to the outside world.
Because it's comfortable.
It's comfortable. So I saw the world. I met beautiful people. So I went back home and then I decided to stay there. And I started doing hairdressing there and stuff. And that's when I was just like, oh, like, again, is this it? There must be something. Then I got into the, like, there's something strange, and I Googled the law of attraction. From then, from me Googling the law of attraction and finding out all these things, I came across Abraham Hicks, Joseph Murphy. That changed my life, The Power of Now. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. I told you about that.
Yeah.
It is the most life-changing book in the world.
Why?
Because I love the way that I like the audio, and when he's talking in the audio, he explains like scenarios of different people's lives and how that you can come out of that and how your mind actually influences you to get where you want to get in life. And that little voice that's always like, no, not today, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't know, like the way I can explain it to my customers, my clients, my friends, my colleagues is I say to girls that are having a bad day, like, what do you have in your handbag today? Like, is there anything in your handbag that you don't need? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, show me. And they're like, okay, I have my lipstick, I have my phone, I have my da da da. And I'm like, okay, so you have everything that you need. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so just kind of think of your body as being a handbag. Just put in there anything that you need. I know it sounds really funny.
No, I love that.
But kind of just give yourself that day inside your body, inside your mind, just give what you need for that day. Like, you know, you don't need to think about your ex, keep him to the left. You don't need to think about this. You don't need to think about, like, if you get a thought saying you don't look great today, you don't need that. Leave it at home. You look great today. You look great. Put that inside of your... So it's like filling your thoughts, filling your mind with just, like, positive, great. It's not easy. There is a day, like, where you're going to be like, I feel crap today. But you just have to say, I don't need you right now. You know, like, just you can stay there right now. I need this. And just kind of like indulge in all the positive thoughts and the most like beautiful thoughts.
I love that. What a great analogy. So yeah. Guess how if you have a handbag that you take with you, you can't take everything from home in it. You select things. Yeah. And that's how we should select our thoughts.
It's a way for girls that can't get into kind of the Joseph Murphy and these people because they can explain things quite difficult. I always say the handbag situation is just so much easier for girls to relate to.
I love it. So great. Yeah. And I really loved what you said about a memory. So it's so funny because I take the train and the bus everywhere. I'm like, I'm not in a stage where I have a driver or an Uber. And I actually love it. The other day, it was really funny. I was getting a bus and I was doing my makeup on the bus.
Yeah.
And I was like laughing because I was just like, one day, this is going to be so funny. Yeah. And I remember I went to an event and this has happened many times. And when everyone leaves the event like kind of at the same time and everyone gets an Uber.
Yeah.
And I remember this was an event. It was like 9 of us and everyone left. So everyone's waiting outside for their Uber. And I walked away to get the bus and it was like 11:30. Yeah. So it's quite late.
Oh, God.
And I remember walking away being like, one day, like, you're going to look back and you're going to be proud that you made, like, a sacrifice and also just proud that you've grown. Because there's certain things that I don't allow myself to get in the habit of doing. And one of them is, like, I won't get in the habit of ordering food and I won't get in the habit of taking an Uber.
Yeah.
Because once you get into the habit, then I feel like to take a train or a bus for an hour is like so long.
Exactly. Yeah,
so I'm just like, nope, not getting into the habit until I'm at a stage where I can freely be like, yeah, no worries, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so I think that doing that though is such a nice place to be in because you know that one day you're going to make it.
But you're kind of secretly manifesting. You're kind of creating because you're saying one day, which means you're allowing yourself for that day to come.
Yes.
You're opening up the doors, you know, to allow that to come into your life. So this is why I like that kind of way of saying, but one day, like, this will be a memory, or because you know, it's like, you know, you're going to be there one day, you know?
Exactly.
It's not like, oh, I'll never be able to do that.
Like, yes.
I can't be around that kind of people that's like, oh, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that. And I'm like, I just can't be around this.
Yeah.
Because I've done so much work to get here and I cannot be around that energy, you know? Like, I can't, I can't. You can, why not, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about that because you just said you find that frustrating and I get it because energy, I always think, like, we all have energy and someone's energy can bring you down and someone's energy can bring you up, right? So let's talk about you back in the day.
Yes.
You are somebody who's living in Birmingham, right? You don't have a lot of money. You are just starting out and you come across Abraham Hicks and you come across Joseph Murphy. What pushed you to do that? It was the traveling, right? That you were like, let me start researching into this.
I came back from the cruise ship. My parents had some kind of difficulties financially, so I actually, like, had nowhere to go. So I never saw my bedroom again. So I left with my bedroom and then I came back with
Nothing.
Like, I was like, oh shit. So I lived with my cousin for a little bit. So I was also like pushed.
Got
to
it.
To have to do better. Out of desperate needs, I kind of got into a wrong partnership in business at a very young age, which literally changed my life. This is the bit that is really important. So coming back from the cruise ship, I dealt with the heartbreak. I felt great. I met amazing people. Came back, I had another obstacle to deal with, because I think with the mindset that I was kind of growing up with, it was always a lot of like maybe drama or kind of things like that. So you create that. It's like a snowball of creating the same patterns.
Got it.
It doesn't mean the same thing, but it's not a very beautiful experience, you know?
Of course.
So my beautiful cousin, she let me stay with her in her bedroom. Really, I love her so much. Like, I'll never forget this. And basically, then I was like, I just loved shopping. So I still had a credit card and I was still shopping like I was, like, living life.
No.
And my cousin was like, but, and I was like, but, like, I still need to look good. I still need to feel good. You know what I mean? So I was coming back. Like, honestly, I was, like, crazy. She was, like, really shouting at me. And I was like, but. And then I was like, okay, look, my credit card is, like, it's stacking. I need to sort this out.
Okay.
So basically, I'm not saying stacking a lot, but I was indulging.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh shit, I need to get myself together. So then I started, I went and got a normal job in a salon.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out because I'm naturally an entrepreneurial kind of person. I met a Greek businessman with his wife.
Okay.
If it wasn't, I need to say thank you to those, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today. So they were like, I saved money from the cruise ship, a lot of money. Came back, also borrowed money from my dad, the last bit that he had, bless him. Gave me the money and opened the salon. And sold you the dream, have the salon. I had a great clientele. The whole communities knew me, from Asian communities to Greek communities to the British community. So it was a great idea. But he ended up robbing a lot of money. So a lot of money was kind of like, I was young, I was kind of misled. My parents were going through their own problems and I couldn't kind of, like, I just kind of trusted this couple.
Yeah.
To the point when I started, because I'm always being quiet and strong, when I start questioning things, like, you want me to work harder, but I'm not seeing it, like, what's going on, where the business, so I can, like, try and work harder. Then I finally kind of found some letters and I found out that they were taking so much money out of the business. When I started to question that, like you do as a girl to a man, like, I'm sorry to say this, but when you start, I was like this young girl, he was like this older guy. When I started questioning, he didn't like it. He just wanted me to be like, shut up, get on with it. You know, like, keep your mouth shut. And I'm not that girl. I don't keep my mouth shut. Like, I just do not. I need to sometimes, but anyway, so I was like, no, I want to know where this money's going. I really fought myself. And when I started to ask questions, and I thought, I'm not going to work until I get my... I've put in so much money into this business. It's my dad's money. I want to pay them back.
Of course.
And basically, I one day turned... This is what changed my life. I had nowhere to go, so I was living above the salon. And then I literally went to the salon in the morning to open the salon from downstairs, and him and his wife were standing outside with the shutters down. My money in the back, like my money in that salon, I used their accountant, I used their lawyers. So he was like this big businessman. I lost all my money, and basically him and his wife were like, oh, where you're a gypsy, you've got nowhere to go now. And I literally had nowhere to go. So, and then I had nothing to stand on, because obviously I used all his legal people. So basically it was like, oh my God, like, I've just lost all that money. And it was a lot of money. We're talking about, at that time, talking about maybe like 40,000, 50,000. And then I was just distraught. It was like a hard time. I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, everything is just... And that's when I'd really decided, I started learning about, it's got to be more than this. Like, we were also very religious. So I went through the point of, what? Is there a God? Like, da 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 da. And that's when I was like, I started finding myself, like, picking myself up and working really hard. Yeah, sorry, I just got a bit. It's, I think, because you just get on with life, you forget to talk about it. And it's the first time I'm speaking about it. So it just.
Yeah. I think when there's something that's happened that's so transformational, and then you reflect on it, you never realize, like, how deep that wound is. And it can come up. And I think with you, you're someone who's like done that over and over and over again. And that's probably why it's like emotional, because you do that right now with everything that you're doing. You're a single mom. You're always fighting through every obstacle. And I don't want to make you cry even more. I'm like, I don't want to. But I think because you've done it so much, it's like, it's obviously going to trigger an emotion inside.
But I feel like if that didn't happen at such a young age, maybe I wouldn't have pushed.
Yes.
Because again, the Greek community, being from there, he was Greek, kind of the gossip spreads.
Yes.
Again, I felt even more of an outsider. And I thought, I'm not going to, like, again, having that, I guess I'm really happy that I've always had that fighter in me. So, but I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
I'll show you who the gypsy is. Like, I'll show you, like, and that's when I literally, like, met Mike England and I started reading. And then I just used to say to myself, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to get, so I started visualizing, like, a dartboard.
Okay. Sorry, where were you living at this point? Where did
you live? After my cousin, I started kind of like doing more work, building up my clientele.
Got it.
And then I managed to get myself a one-bedroom apartment.
Okay.
From there, I was working really hard. I met some amazing people. Started into the law of attraction. Then I visualized a dartboard.
Okay.
And I used to say to myself, I've always been very grateful, by the way, as well. So I've always been a very grateful person. So I'm very like, used to pray. I still pray. And I'm like, thank you for this and thank you for this. So I just felt like my blessings were then, I managed to stop thinking about what had happened in the past and I let it go and I realised it's just part of life, you know, like, and the biggest thing that I want to say to every single person out there is, I think the biggest problem with me was that I was a people pleaser, big people pleaser. And I was a very nice person. So nice, yes to everything. Even if it was out of my values, I would just be a yes person, a people pleaser. And I realized that being a good person and being a nice person are two very different things. I want to raise my boy to be a good person, but not a nice person. A good person, you can have your values, you can have your morals, you can have your standards, you can be kind and everything, but don't be nice where you then sacrifice your own morals, values and beliefs. Do you know what I mean? It's a very, very important thing that my friend told me, and it's the best thing that I've ever heard, because it's true. I was nice. Nice is not always good.
Yes.
Nice is just following the crowd. So be strong and stand strong in who you are as a person. Be a good person, but again, do not be a nice person, because nice is different.
I think you are lovely. I would say you're one of the nicest people I've ever met, by the way. But I think what I agree with you, actually. I think a lot of the time we confuse being nice with having no boundaries.
Yeah.
And being nice is just saying yes to everything. Yeah. But you can still be nice and polite and lovely.
And good is nice.
Exactly.
But without just being nice. Like, you can be a good person and say no.
Yes.
It doesn't make you a bad person if you say no, whereas I could never say no. I was always like,
How did you change that? Because there's a lot of people that struggle with people pleasing.
Growing and learning. So going back to the dartboard,
yes,
I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but that's where I want to get. And I stopped resisting. So Abraham Hicks, which I love, used to say, don't even worry about the how.
Yes.
Just believe that you will. Just you're going to be there. How you get there, it's none of your business. Do you know what I mean? So how you, it's the same with, like, in any way, just believe that you will be there and the universe will find ways to get you there. Whereas with me, before I was like, right, I need to get there and I'm going to go here, 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 here. And it never worked out that way. So I was like, you know? Whereas now I'm like, okay, I want to get there. I'm going to go to bed now and I'm just going to let myself get there at my own time, at my own pace. And what I loved the most was when I got into that world, the most beautiful thing that I read, which then changed my life, my career, like, bloomed. Financially, I was doing great. You know, it was brilliant. I kind of set myself a goal where I want to make this. And then literally I hit it. And then I was like, okay, let's make this. And then da-da-da-da. So it kind of grew and grew. But the biggest thing that I learned was, your subconscious, which is everything that we kind of like observe while we are young and we kind of put in ourselves and stuff, is basically the obviously subconscious mind. And we've got our conscious mind, which is me here now. So I love, I think it's Neville Goddard that says, your subconscious mind is the husband and your conscious is the wife. And the wife will introduce a thought to the subconscious, to the husband, and then the husband will like bring it to fusion. You know, so it's kind of like a way, if you Google this, it's beautiful the way they say it. Oh. So before bed, I used to always never sit and dwell on what had happened in the past. It was over. Whereas in the past, I would sit and think, but why did this happen to me? Why is life unfair? Whereas I made a conscious effort after getting into this world to not think about what has happened in the past and just be excited for the future, because you never know what could happen today. Something great could happen. And if you have that optimistic, happy expectation, it can happen. Even though after everything that I've been through, I still like believe in good things and I still believe in like happiness.
I love that. It's so interesting. I just uploaded an Instagram post as well today being like, people always ask me about the podcast and they always say, you know, are you bored of it now? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, doesn't it take up so much of your time? I'm like, it takes up the majority of my time. It gives me no direct income mm-hmm. because I don't have a sponsor, but it provides me with the most joy. Mm. And if when I started, I was so focused on, am I going to get a sponsor? I wouldn't make money any other way.
Yeah.
So many opportunities yeah. have come into my life because I focused on what I loved yeah. and because I really believe that one day it's going to work out. And even now people are like, aren't you focusing on getting a sponsor? And isn't that like the most biggest priority? And I'm just like, it's not. It's really, really not, because so many other opportunities have yeah. come. I don't need to worry. I'm not like obsessed with it. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I'm nowhere near making like a sufficient yeah. income, which people would think. But I just genuinely, I think this is the one thing that I have changed. I genuinely think it's going to work out one day. I really believe it. Like, there's nothing in a pattern, by the way, that would be like, Shivani, you're going to make £1 million from this podcast a year. Yeah. Nothing. No proof yeah. of evidence. I just believe it. But it's so bizarre.
It's, again, you're looking at life with an optimistic eye, you know, with your glass half full.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is amazing, rather than half empty. So you've always got that happy, positive expectation. And when you have a happy, positive expectation, like, the universe will do everything it can to prove to you that you're right. Because, again, whether you are right or wrong, the universe doesn't know the difference in good and bad. It's just what you believe in.
Yeah.
It can only give you what you believe in.
So let's talk around, obviously, when you started to really manifest mm-hmm. and how exactly you did it. So you talked around a dartboard. What was on that dartboard?
Nothing. It was just in my head. It was just like a vision of like... It was like the dot board, but you see in pubs or wherever you see it. Right. And I was like, I'm going to go there. That's where I want to be. I don't know how, but I'm going to be there. Then I did a vision board.
Okay. How do you do that?
So I went to Hobbycraft and I took like a... I mean, when I do things big. I don't do small. It's just really thing. Like, it's either big or nothing.
Yeah, yeah, me too. All or nothing.
So I didn't just like, you know, on YouTube, it was like, yeah, you could just start like this. And I was like... So I went and got like maybe a canvas as big as me. Like thick. And then I went on Instagram or Google and I was Googling things that I like. I printed them, cut them, stuck them. But then I started writing on the vision board with my own handwriting and feeling like when I was sticking the picture and writing things, I was kind of like visualizing it being there. And so I was in my one bedroom apartment. I was doing all this stuff. It was amazing. And then the landlord wanted me out. So again, I was like, ah, shit. And I was like, okay, where'd I go? Like, da 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 da. There was only one, at that time, it's really strange. There was one house on Rightmove and my sister found it.
Okay.
And she was like, it's this house. I was like, I can't go from an apartment to this big house by myself, like in the middle of nowhere. It was just fields. But at that time, I just started my cleaning, my healthy eating as well. So I did a parasite cleanse. And so everything was in alignment. So not only my thoughts were great, but what I was feeding my body and nourishing my body was also beautiful. So it's everything like mind, body and soul. I was kind of like naturally moving or from kind of visualizing and manifesting. I naturally had the urge to start cleaning my body. Wow. So it was like a calling or something. And then this house was in the middle of nowhere. Energy is extremely important, especially when you're kind of growing and healing. Mm. And I was like, I cannot afford this house. Like, it's completely my one of my sisters was like, you're not gonna like what? And I was like, let's just see. Anyway, I have no choice. I have to be out. There's nothing else. We went, and it was in the middle of nowhere. It was a fairy tale. I walked in and it already had like this beautiful cinema room downstairs. It was three floors and straight away I was like, this is my salon, like this is the place, like we're growing, like this is where I could do this. So I moved into that house with the thought of struggling with the rent and everything like this. Literally a week after I moved in, like this explosion just happened on Instagram where everyone just kind of knew about me out of nowhere, like literally. And then the emails, I remember I wasn't checking my emails because I was just on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I checked my emails and I had all these emails, and then my friend was helping me reply to people. It was packed. Like I had to get like family to start helping me, and it was paying the rent more than three times, you know. So I was just like, thank you, God. So I feel like, again, when a bad situation happens to someone, remember that it's because maybe if you are not, I would have not moved from that apartment. And with me, when I get comfortable, I just stay.
Yeah.
But the universe, I think, I feel like it's my best friend, because sometimes it gives me a kick up the ass. And it's like, we're not going to move. I'm going to have to do something here. So it's like, right, let me kick you out of this place. You need to go here. Now, this place was surrounded by green land, trees. I had rabbits in the morning, rainbows. It was amazing. Everyone on social media who has followed me can remember these stories. And I was like walking outside with bare feet, and literally was everything that I needed. The sunrise, the sunset was beautiful. At that time, I was purely manifesting incredible things. Like I felt so magical. Like I would find myself in different countries with incredible people where I was learning even more. I met a beautiful friend who I'm still really close to called Mariam, who we were just in such alignment with each other. And we were like happy-go-lucky girls, you know, and life was just amazing. And then I realised that from that, I then started to come to, what's the word? I basically accepted that whatever, maybe that all that happened in the past to make me appreciate where I am today.
Yeah.
Super grateful. I was very, very grateful. And then more and more things were happening. And then I think I became stagnant. And you know what happens when that happens?
Yeah.
Stagnant water stinks. So when you become stagnant, like I grew to the capacity that I could. But I'm a creator. And once you create, you've got to pass it on and then create something bigger. So I knew everything on that vision board had already been kind of happened, except for a baby and like the marriage, which I was a bit like, if it happens, it happens. But then I, you know, that's when basically things just fell apart again. And that was because I think I was around maybe the wrong people, the wrong mindset. And then I kind of like stopped kind of working on, maybe wasn't reading as much, wasn't working on myself as much. So it is a conscious effort to keep working on yourself and growing to be able to get to a certain place where you want to be, career, or this is not even just about career. This is also about growing as a person in a relationship or as being a parent, like the best parent you can be. Learn from our past. What is it that we would have liked as a child? What can we now give our children? Yes. So what I'm talking about with manifesting, it's not just about career. It's about anything in life. It's about being a better person and better than who you were yesterday.
And how you can grow. And yeah. I think that's what I'm hearing from your story is like, whether you were pushed to grow or whether you wanted to grow, there's just constant growth along the way.
Constant. And even like the girls that I used to hang with, I don't hang around with any of them anymore. Because we have different interests. There's different, like I would be around girls that would say to me, like I came from a background where getting your own house was difficult and all this stuff. So I basically wanted my own home. I wanted security and to feel safe, you know. And I would be around girls. I remember one girl saying to me, oh, why do you want your own home for? A man should buy you that. You know, so it was always like I was around people that made me feel like, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this?
Yeah.
It's not like, why can't I get that? Because I never wanted it that way. You know, it wasn't about... I could have easily met any guy that could house me and give me the dream life. But for me, my intentions are not in getting with someone for financial gain or being security, like having the security.
Because you want it from within you.
I want to love someone because I love them as well. You know, I want to love someone that I have to be inspired by that person, and I want to look up to him and be, that's my husband. I'm so proud of him. To me, to just be with someone because I feel secure with a house or with the money that they can offer me, it's just not something that I can do.
I love that.
And I had that recently with, you know, like situation in Dubai, like your guy that chased me, he could give me everything. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, it's not enough. Like I need that feeling inside.
So you had your baby in that house, right?
I did, yes.
Talk to me about that. Because you said it was on your vision board to have a baby.
It wasn't a vision board because I just love children. Again, being Greek, 34 years old, I remember I just came back from LA with my friend and I was like crying because I was like, my bigger sister, she was like, but you know, why are you crying? I was like, I just feel like, why hasn't it happened for me? I don't understand why I haven't had a family. Or I'm just like, but maybe you've had the career, maybe you've had the success. And I was like, no, I want to have everything.
I want it all.
Everything. And I was really upset about that. And then I just thought maybe I missed the boat. And I thought, I'm an auntie, you know, I love children.
Yeah.
I really get on with children more than adults sometimes. I just love them,
yeah,
you know.
Me too. So, yeah, I'm so maternal like that too.
Yeah. So, and I was just like, okay, maybe I missed the boat or whatever. I've never had any issues with not having, I wouldn't know, you know, because I've never kind of tried.
Yes.
But I just thought, I've never had a mistake in the past. I've never had an abortion or a miscarriage. So maybe why hasn't it happened? And I thought, okay, God didn't want that for me. And then I met someone I met him just in Birmingham and we got on really well at the time. So basically I met him, I was like, yeah, I want twins. He was co-parenting, had children. I was fine with that. And but then I kind of like, I didn't date him straight away. Then I finally went on a date with him months later, and again he was like still like co-parenting, and I went on a date, we got on super super well, did not plan to have a child with him, did not even think this would happen. But then I basically when I was kind of dating him, I kind of got funny feelings, and you know the typical situation with the girls where I was then thinking, oh my God, is it me? Do I have relationship insecurities? What's these emotions? So I would raise them with him and be like, I'm just feeling like things are not adding up. And he's like, no, I promise you. Like reassuring me. And you know, as girls, like you see them, they reassure you and you're like, oh, it's okay. Everything's great again.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then he would leave and he was like my belly was like again. So then I messaged him one day saying, look, we've had a great time together, but things are not adding up. I think we need to leave things. So then he was like, he came to my house and he was like, saying, I need to speak to you. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like, and then he just told me, are you sure you're okay that I've got kids? I mean, you travel so much with your career. Are you sure you're not going to leave? And da, da, da. And I was like, of course not. I'm more than fine that you've got kids. And that day again, he reassured me, made me feel great. And then I got pregnant. I got pregnant and I will tell you something, and I will say this to all the girls in the world, especially some of my clients that say to me, oh, I want to have a baby, da, da, da. I always say to girls, like, I basically, when I found out I was pregnant, I was so happy. Like, when I looked at that pregnancy test and it showed two strong lines, I was with my friend, I was like, what? Like, I sat on the floor for 40 minutes looking at that pregnancy test, and literally, I have never in my life, even now it's gone again, I have never experienced self-love until that day. Like, I wish I could feel that feeling again. I kept looking at my body, I was touching my hands, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe all these years I didn't think you were capable of doing this. I can't believe I worked you so hard in the gym. I can't believe I did this. I was like, literally, like, I can't believe my body, like, it's pregnant. Like, it was the most...
It's gonna make me cry.
Honestly, it's the most beautiful. I have never in my life... Like, if you look at all my pregnancy pictures, I was just like, I brought selfie sticks. I was like, it was COVID. I was by myself. I was just like, photo. I just enjoyed... I don't know if Zion's energy, my little boys, I don't know if he gave me the power to go through what was about to happen after that. So, because when I told him that I was pregnant, I was obviously like, it was the biggest gift for me from God, you know. And maybe God sent me the baby, because I don't think I could have taken another heartbreak. I'm not very good with heartbreaks. So I think maybe God was like, okay, I'm going to be good with you this. I'm going to give you something. Okay, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a lemon, you give me a lemonade, you know.
Yeah,
And I told this guy that I was pregnant, And we go back to the past when obviously he didn't want me to have the baby. He wanted me to have an abortion. I'll be with you every step of the way. It's not the right time for you. You've just got your Saudi visa. You've just got, like, your career's doing great. And I'm like, yeah, it is doing great. But I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to choose. I'm still a girl. You know, even though I've done so great with working hard, I am still a girl. You know, and maybe I had to be in my masculine energy so many years because of everything that happened. I was a fighter. Yes. But I'm still a girl in my heart. You know, I'm still a female.
Of course.
And I want the love, and I wanted to be a mother, and I want all that. I'm not going to choose, without it coming the wrong way, I'm not going to choose my career over being a mom, because I wanted to be a mom, especially with everything that I have learned over the years. I couldn't wait to pass that on to a little baby at such a young age, where then this little person can take all this information and be even something great in his life or her life, yeah. You know? So I was so ready to teach and help, and I just love it. So he didn't want the baby, and it was COVID as well. And that was a really hard time.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult. This time it was different. So the universe was a bit kinder, because this time I was also full of, like, happy feelings from, like, creating a baby.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, what the fuck has just happened? You know, so I was like, oh my God. So,
so
COVID.
Much to deal with.
I was by myself in my house. And yeah, just dealing with, again, rejection. Rejection that then put me back in the state of going back to when I was 19 with the first boyfriend.
Yeah.
The business.
Yeah.
Put me back fully. So I think what I'm trying to say is, like, no matter how much work you do on yourself, I got there, I made it. And then it just takes one person to come into your life. Although this person gave me the biggest gift of my life, which is my son. Could never fully hate this person, because yeah. When I look at my son and I see how incredible he is still part of that.
Mm.
Well, I don't want to say this because I don't believe in this, but almost like the rejection feelings, once you start triggering, it's still in there clearly.
Of course.
It was still in there. I thought I had done all the work. I thought, like, it was still there. So it kind of, like, triggered all that rejection. And that's when everything started kind of falling. Losing friends left, right and centre, losing family. Things like my house was collapsing, and people that actually came to my house, like, this is the truth, guys. People on Instagram that saw that house, they saw a hole in the kitchen that just fell through. We had pest control. We had everything just come to check what's going on. There was nothing wrong with the house. They were shocked. But I feel like that was, again, maybe the universe saying to me, it's time to end. Like, you've yeah. got... I literally reached to a point in that house where everything I wanted that I on my vision board at the time had manifested. So then it is, again, I wasn't willing. So I remember that once my accountant said to me, maybe you should, like, move to Dubai for a bit. And I was like, I can't leave this house. It's my dream home. I've made so many beautiful memories. I was attached to the house. And honestly, I said to my accountant, I would only leave that house if the house divorces me. I can't leave the house. And literally, I feel like the house, it was saying goodbye to me. It was raining everywhere. You know, it was water. My clients saw water leaking down that in the salon, three floors. And I just, what makes me feel better is that the house was crying that I was leaving. And I was like, okay, it's time to say goodbye. So I still think about the house. I still send it love because I made beautiful memories there. And I'm very grateful for everything that it gave me. Mm-hmm. But again, it was time to leave.
I think everything you said about your journey, honestly, is that you've basically wished for something. Let me start again. Everything you said about your journey is just so beautiful. I don't know if you're, like, hearing it from what you're saying, but it's like, I had this dream, I achieved it, and it was time to go. Mm-hmm. And I recently heard this, I don't know where I heard it, I think it was a podcast, and someone was saying that there's four seasons in the year,
mm-hmm.
and yet we expect in our life for us to always be in spring, and for everything to grow.
Yes, there's the winter.
And then the summer is when you flourish.
Yeah.
And the autumn is when you shed. And then the winter is where you rebuild. Mm-hmm. And you spend time alone.
Yes.
And it's so interesting that in our life, we all want to be constantly growing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that there's sometimes that we let go, sometimes that we rebuild, sometimes that we stay the same,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that we hide away.
So true.
And I think from your journey, it's like, it's kind of like miraculous how... Mm. It keeps happening naturally. And now I think you've come to a place where on reflection, you're very much like, it made sense. Like the house in Birmingham didn't work out. So now I've done this.
Mm-hmm.
The flat didn't work out for me. So I did this. The cruise ship didn't work out for me. And this happened. The salon didn't work out for me. And this happened. And I think that you've grown so much. Like you're still so young and you've grown so much. And everything that you've done has been for the power of your thoughts
and 100%.
The power of your mind. And that is so inspiring because what we're now telling people is it's in your control. Like everything
is
in your control.
It is. And I think because I've managed to get into that kind of like way of creator, I'm a creator, like I said earlier. And I just feel like now that I'm already in there, there's no one doing, you know. So I'm very much dived into that world. So for me, it's either I keep creating or it's going to like fall back. So it was so quite hard because I know better. I know better, you know? So with the situation with the house as well, I just feel like it's so important to let everybody know that you can always fall. You can fall down every day, but it's how you get back up. Always remember you have to get back up. We have one life. I know it's harder. Some people find it harder than others. And this is where maybe people like me are here to inspire them and give them that helping hand that it is possible. Like I haven't just had an easy ride. And I wouldn't want, like if you said to me, if this was the last day of my life and you said, would you want to relive this life again? Of course I would not want to relive all these situations. But I don't know why this is my life, you know, but I know that I can always overcome a situation. But it also takes a lot of effort in terms of we have to learn, we have to read, we have to listen to people, be around people, take a helping hand if you need it.
Mm.
Not at the moment, not every single mother maybe is in the position that I am, where I'm able to still have a career and raise my son. I have friends who have needed to get help from the government until, you know, they found their feet. And I would say, yes, so you should. Like, do what makes you feel good as long as you... The way I see it is now as a mother trying to fight through the world. I wouldn't say fight because I'm going with the flow.
Mm.
You know, it's like the sea. When a wave comes in the sea, we don't push it away. It comes and then it just goes back into the sea, right? You just got to let it come. And, you know, one day it will go back as well.
Mm.
But just do so much work where you know how to handle situations. Do you understand?
Yes. What are some of the things that you do every day to align your thoughts to your dreams? So what's something that someone can do at home to just start manifesting?
Another thing that I do every day is literally before you go to bed, the last thought on your mind has to be something happy. It has to be. Because if that thought is negative or you're thinking about what's going on in that day, you're literally going to wake up tomorrow with a chaotic morning. Maybe the wrong email is going to come in. Maybe the wrong text message. Something at work is going to happen. Before you go to sleep, no matter what has happened, think of something beautiful. Whether it's your dog, your cat, your boyfriend, your husband, your baby, your new shoes. I don't know. I don't know. A drink that you had. Just think of something beautiful and how did that make you feel? And then just close your eyes.
I love that.
And if your mind does kind of, because mine does, I mean, guys, I've got a lot of work to do still. Like, trust me, I do. But if your mind just kind of flows, just like the best thing I say to my clients is like, of course, that thought will come again, like a wave. It will come. Don't push it away. But just say a thought comes on that's like, oh, I'm not going to get this job. Just be like, okay, Nikki, but what if you do get the job? And what if it's bigger and better than you ever expected? What if you get an incredible... Just always change it to something more beautiful. That's the most... It's the best way. It's how I got here. At the minute, my biggest inspiration and my biggest drive is my son. So I want to show Zion that I want him to be proud of his mom, that I am a strong woman. And I want to... We can't tell our children what to do. We can only show them. So I have this huge responsibility now to, because his dad's not in his life, so I am mommy and daddy, and I need to show my son that you have to get up, you have to go for it, and you have to be courageous enough to, and you have to learn how to overcome obstacles.
Yeah.
But the first thing, even now, so I already teach him to eat super clean. We eat really well. And he'll see me purposely. I don't tell him, but I'll let him see me write in my journal. So even if it's little things, like we do a prayer together at night, where a prayer could be to whatever, whoever you believe in, it could be to the universe, where we'll be like, thank you for my mummy. And I'm like, thank you for giving me Zion. And I'm able to like be around Zion and raise him. I'm so happy to have Zion.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And then we're
gonna cry.
Yeah.
I can just imagine you doing that. That's
yeah. We're
so
just,
cute.
And he'll say to me, actually, mummy, it's prayer time. So I kind of started it at a very young age, but in a more like fun way.
Yes.
And I'd be like, thank you for our doggy. Thank you for our holidays. Thank you for my friends at school. Thank you for my amazing teachers. So I've already kind of in my head, my intention is to get him into this positive outlook. And the intention is to just raise this little boy. Because for me now, I have a lovely life, but honestly, I'm just living for Zion now. Like I'm just more, I want to do everything for him now. Mm. And I think it's my intention is to not repeat the same. I want to kind of like, I already did. I kind of like broke the curse of like the struggle. Yeah. And with Zion, I want to give him like a smoother journey. As long as your children are protected and are around good role models, that is the only thing I want. Whether it's a grandpa, a grandma, a friend, or even the other way around, if someone is not good or toxic, I don't want my son around them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to learn from my mistakes and things that I would have liked going back in time.
Yeah, you know? So powerful. This podcast has been so inspiring. And I think you are so inspiring and you have such amazing energy. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.